Hi, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. I was waiting for the FedEx truck to pull out of the parking lot, but he seems to be sitting there for a minute, so we're just going to chill out for a little bit. And I know there are those of you going, you know, guys, if the FedEx guy always comes between 3 and 4, or the DHL guy, or the UPS guy, or the, you know, whoever delivery guy comes, then why don't you record the podcast at another time? But I actually like to be back here when the FedEx man is in the parking lot. It makes me feel like kind of like home. So he's here, and I hear him revving it up out there. We're here. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, but we're on our way to Mexico City in the six cities of the last leg of the Passion World Tour, and we are excited. There he goes now. Can you hear him? I wish you could hear him. You probably can't hear him. Probably wasn't loud enough. I need to take the microphone out in the parking lot. Let's do this outdoors next time, and that way when he comes, we can interview the FedEx man. We, by the way, have a little kitchen in the Passion House, and just for clarification's sake, we do not live at the Passion House. Someone was asking me the other day, so I can't remember the context, but the inference was that we live here, and we actually just work here. But it is a house, and was a house, and has been a house way back in time 100 years ago, and I know no one even cared about any of that. We were just starting the podcast, Jonathan, and we're now way off track. But we have a little kitchen here is the point, and it has a lot of cool stuff in it because our concierge keeps it stocked for us. And so the FedEx people, that's why they come three times a day. They kind of stagger the deliveries for snack breaks. And so they come straight in, walk right past Eric and Jonathan, go straight to the kitchen, get whatever it is that they want. And then they do their stuff and then they go. So I saw the FedEx guy going around the corner with a couple of Gatorades and a couple of bags of potato chips in his hand. And off he's gone. Another great delivery to the Passion House. So we're doing what we can to keep the delivery system in Alpharetta happy and the system running smoothly. But welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's been a few days since we've been together, and the next time you hear my voice, Lord willing, we're going to be in Mexico City, Mexico, and I got a feeling it's just going to be absolutely crazy. And when we take this little recorder we have out on stage with these 16 or 17,000 Mexicans, and they've promised us, by the way, there were quite a contingent of Mexicans came to Passion Atlanta, and they said to us, not taunting us, but sort of in a very, you know, upfront way, you think this was great. You think this was loud. You think these kids were into it. And I think there was like 10,500 people in Gwinnett Arena, and it was very loud and very crazy, I thought. They said, yeah, this is nothing. Wait till you get to Mexico City. So we've been to 11 cities around the world. We have been waiting to land in Mexico City to see if these guys are right or not, and if this is actually the loudest in craziest group of people we've ever been with. So holding the recorder up in Mexico City is going to be pretty amazing. And I say that, but, you know, I was really convicted this morning. I was telling somebody, you know, we're on our way, be in Mexico City on Thursday, and today's Tuesday. And just the Holy Spirit just convicted me right in that instant of that passage of Scripture. I think it's in the book of James, and it says, we shouldn't say that tomorrow that we're going to go to such and such city, and we're going to do such and such in that city, but we should say, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we're going to go to this city and do this thing. And I really, you know, that kind of got a hold of my heart today, because I kind of like to live 24 hours at a time anyway, and that way you don't have to carry, you know, all the what if of all these other things and days that are coming down the road. I like to just kind of focus on what's right here, grab onto that with everything I've got, and then tomorrow we'll worry about whatever comes with tomorrow. But I do want to just make sure we're on that wavelength today, so that we say, if the Lord wills, we'll be in Mexico City this weekend on Friday and Saturday, and if he wills, from there, we'll be in Vancouver, and we're not taking any of that for granted, but we are looking down the road at this last leg of the world tour, and we're incredibly excited about it, and I can't wait to connect with you. I want us to pray together just as we kind of getting started today, and again, you might hear this after we've already left Mexico City, but God doesn't care about that. He's not going to go, oh, it's too late to pray for Mexico City, because they've already been there. God's outside of time and space, and same time he's in time and space, and so we can pray about something before it happens, while it's happening, or after it happens, and in the economy of God, somehow he can fit all that together. So I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where you heard about something and it had already happened. You said, God, I wish I had known about that. I could have prayed about it or done something. Well, you still can. I think you can pray right in that moment and go, God, I didn't know about that before, but I'm finding out about it now. And right now, I just want to pray for that situation. And somehow, I think God weaves all that together. Who understands prayer anyway? And who knows how God meshes all of our prayers and his sovereign plans together? But I know that he does, and I know that he's amazing, and I know that we can trust him. And so we just want to pray for Mexico City. We're going to this incredible place in the midst of a lot of turmoil in the nation. There's a lot of crime on the streets, a lot of uneasiness, a lot of tension between the drug dealers and the government right now, and that's spilled over and is touching the lives of normal people as they go about their business. And a lot of folks aren't going out at night in the city. And, you know, it's just one of those times where you could kind of fold up and stay at home and not do the thing, or you can say, you know what, this is a great time to be in this city as light in the midst of some hard times, in the midst of darkness. And that's the idea that we're embracing and just trusting for the mercy of God, but more than that, the power of God, because we're carrying this unrivaled story of grace with us. And Ashley tells it so well as a university student, but it's the story of grace, and it's unlike any other God story on the planet, and it's definitely, I believe, going to take life in the midst of this systemic religious culture where there's a heavy dose of what you have to do to stay on good terms with God, and you just kind of cross your fingers and hope for the best in the end. And I think the message that we're going to share, I believe, is going to open something up in people's hearts, and I pray just inspire a whole generation of people to go out and tell a story of the one that has set them free from a system and offered them life for free that changes everything about who they are and everything about why they want to do what they want to do with their lives. And so even right now, just beginning a podcast together, guys, people all over America and around the world listen to this thing right now. And together we just make that our prayer. And I know we're only going to be there 2 days, and so we're not, you know, making a big deal about us. We want to pray for the people who are living there and who are nationals in that city, who care about your fame and who are trying to build the church there. And we want to pray for people who've been called to Mexico City, and they're not just there for a weekend like we're going to be, but they're there for the long haul. And they've been investing their lives on campuses and pouring their lives into students, and we want to serve them well. We want to serve you well. And we just pray for favor, mercy and grace and in amazing measure, and for a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit that would cause eyes to see clearly and would allow us to hear things and in a kind of clarity that we've never heard them before, and that something would just break open in our hearts and change us and change a nation, change the direction of a generation of people, and let the gospel just come like a river and wash us away in these days. And that's what we're hoping for and praying for. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So the other cities we're heading to, Lord willing, the only one that I went around the Passion House today and I said, hey, we're about to do a podcast. What do you guys want us to make sure we include? Two quick things. One, some really cool feedback we got just this morning from Tokyo, and a lot of people saying we've never been to something like this in Tokyo before, and we're excited. And so that makes me happy. It's not, you know, the biggest venue, and it just proves that it doesn't matter if there's 20,000 or 2,000. The point is that you have a moment of influence that can have a scaling effect in a city or on a campus or in a nation. And when you've got people in a city like Tokyo who are emailing saying, we're so fired up because we've never been to a worship event like this before in our city, that doesn't mean there's never been one. They've just never been to one, and there's not a ton of them that you can actually choose to be a part of. So that excited me. But I also just want to ask you to pray for Seoul, Korea. We thought it was going to be probably the easiest city, and if you're listening in Korea, you know, just bear with me here. It's turned into the most difficult event I think we've ever done. A lot of people on our team would vote most difficult Passion event of all time. And that's saying a lot when you consider we almost got washed away by Noah's flood at 1 day 03, and doing 1 day 2000 was pretty challenging in and of itself. For people to say this is the most challenging event, they're saying a lot. And I think that's the way our team feels right now. Anything that could have gone wrong in Seoul has gone wrong. And everything we were kind of clinging to that was sort of going right is changing and not going right. And that's just on every level, relationally, logistically, venue-wise, everything is just kind of crazy there. And so, you know, we're thinking, okay, what do? Do you just pull the plug and say, hey, we'll just stay in Tokyo longer? Or do you just go for it? And for us, it's go for it and trust that God's leading us. There are thousands of people praying for us. God has been faithful. When you look up at who God is, you don't look at this thing that Seoul is kind of turning into and go, oh, it's a mess. You go, it is kind of a mess, but God is huge and God is sovereign and God has called us there, and we believe God is going to come through. And there might be some cracks in the way we wish things had happened, But I have a feeling we're going to come on the backside of that and go, oh, wow, that is why it was so difficult the whole time, is because God was moving in that way. And so if you want to put a city on your prayer list right now, put Seoul, Korea on there. And obviously there's been tons of ministry. They're huge churches. There's lots of spiritual momentum there, especially in the generation that just passed. There was incredible spiritual life, but it's kind of like the changing of the guard, and the faith of the parents hasn't necessarily been transferred to the new generation. And we kind of want to stand in that gap and be a part of God bridging, you know, to something new for the generation that's coming. So Mexico City. Vancouver, by the way, you knocked our socks off, Vancouver. I've never said that. I don't use that phrase, but you blew us away. Vancouver, we couldn't believe it. 11,000 people coming to Vancouver. Amazing. Seoul, Tokyo, Hong Kong, and then closing in Sydney. Got to be a great place to end anything, Jonathan, when you're in Sydney Harbor, which is where we're going to be, right in Darling Harbor at the Sydney Entertainment Center, right downtown. Sold out with 10,000 people coming for the very last night of this tour. Check it out. Remember the days when it was just a dream, it was just an idea, it was just this thing that we were looking at, and now we're talking about a sold-out October 21st with 10,000 people in Sydney, Australia. Incredible. So thanks for your prayers. Next time you hear my voice, going to be Mexico City, and we'll keep you guys posted on the blog with great Jeremy Cowart images and maybe a few I take on my BlackBerry just to throw in the other spectrum of photography and what it looks like with a pixel, not two, not three, not four, but one pixel photography. And it's going to be pretty incredible. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to say that every stop for praying for us. Our team's already in Mexico City. They updated us today. Things are going fantastic there. Your prayers mean the world to us. So thank you. Really quickly, we talked on the last podcast about 1 million can. Thank you for coming and checking it out. I think we started this new phase with about 224,000. And if you are just catching up with us, that's money that we had put in from the six regional events where we took up these offerings for wells for African villages, and it totaled 224,000. So towards our $1 million goal, and that's what 1 million can is all about. 224,000 is already in place that's been given by you at these six regional events. But since that time, over $30,000 has been given since we launched the site. And that's pretty cool, really. When you think about it, just over the course of a few weeks, people have come on there and some larger gifts and a lot of small gifts, but they start adding up over time. And we're up to, you know, now where there's whatever that number is, 224 plus 30 is 254. I even know that by myself. And so we're up to close to 255,000, something like that, in a little bit. And that's really, really exciting. And I just want to encourage you to check it out. And wanted to just briefly highlight one of the seven causes there, which is Cure International. And some of their guys came and visited us a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it's just last week, last Friday. They just came and hung out here at the Passion House for a little while, and I was just blown away because I knew a little bit about Cure International, and I knew they were doing great things, but I didn't know the whole story, and it just really fired me up. And so if you're looking on those seven causes and you're not really sure what to do, I just want to encourage you to give a look to Cure International. It's the one that has the little cross on it, and it's about life-altering surgeries for children. And Cure International started, they're celebrating their 10th year, I found out. They started in Kenya with their first medical outreach project there, but now they're in countries all around the world. In fact, they have an amazing medical clinic in Kabul, Afghanistan, and they are doing incredible things right in the heart of the capital of Afghanistan. And in their 10-year history, check this out, they have performed 48,000 surgeries for children. And what they do is that they come to children with disabilities and they offer free surgery. They invite the family into their world for a while. And in the process of that, they share the story of Jesus Christ with every family and every child that comes through their door. And so when you hear 48,000 surgeries, that means 48,000 children and their families heard the gospel. And I'm guaranteeing you, if your child is being cured of hydrocephalus or spina bifida or a cleft palate or a club foot or some of the other spinal diseases that they help to mend, then you are open to hearing, who are these people that are giving my child this gift of life and hope and dignity? Who are they? Where did they come from? And they want to tell me about Jesus. I'm listening. And I think they've had like up close to a one-to-one ratio of surgeries to people actually putting their faith in Christ, which is really awesome. They've seen 700,000 patients as outpatients in their 10-year history. And this past year, they performed 12,000 surgeries around the world. And so I want you to check them out. They're trustworthy. I did a little research on their site as well, found out that they've received the highest award you can receive for nonprofits in terms of how they use their money. They're incredibly financially sound, but they have huge hearts. It started by a doctor and his wife, and they just care about these kids. And there's simple procedures that if a child was born in America with a club foot, that child would have ample opportunity to have a corrective surgery that would cause them to be spared from a life of disability and be launched into a life of normality. But if you're born in Kenya or in Cambodia, that may or may not be the case. And so these guys are on the front lines, and they're just caring about these kids, but they're doing it in a way that tells the story of God. And that's just one of the seven causes at 1 Million Can. And we've got a long way to go, and we're going to be telling people in Mexico City and Vancouver and the cities we're headed to about the website and inviting them to come and join in with us. But if you haven't given a look, take a few minutes, check it out, and let God lead your heart. It's going to be amazing. Going to leave the podcast today. We're going to do just a little short one. And I know, you know, there's probably people with bets out there in America, Jonathan, that I could never do a podcast this short, and it's not over yet. So don't put any money on it until it's over. But I know there are people thinking, man, there's no way this podcast is over. A normal podcast, by the way, if you listen to a lot of the ones on iTunes, which I check out some of the different ones occasionally, they're short. You know, I guess they figure that people want to download something quick. They want to get it on their iPod. They want to listen to it while they're working out, which is maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes max. And so I think the rule is we should do shorter podcasts, but I don't know. You know, we've got this loyal audience, and somehow I think they probably don't mind listening a little bit longer. But before we get away, I just want to tell you a story that really has moved my heart. And somewhere back in line of podcast past, I mentioned this girl named Jessie that I met at a Big Stuff camp 2 summers ago. And she's also the girl that I talk about in the second of the hope messages, the hope when life hurts most, the one called the Megaphone of Hope. That whole message was kind of stirred up by this girl named Jessie. And when I met her, she was 15 years old, and she had cancer that only 100 people in the world have, and it has a name that I couldn't pronounce. And there really wasn't, not only not a cure, there really wasn't even an approach to this type of cancer. And so all of her life for the last little while has been these experimental treatments and trips back and forth from North Carolina, where she lives, to Sloan Kettering in New York, and all this stuff. But all through it, her countenance has been unmistakably clear, and it has caused people to understand that there's something underneath the surface that's greater than cancer and greater than the struggle and greater than what it means to have a hairpiece when you're 16 years old and greater than living, you know, for a month in a New York hospital when all your friends are texting each other and running around and hanging out and enjoying life. And somehow her face never capitulates to cancer, but it always radiates that there's a God in heaven who's big and who loves her, and even in the midst of all this, that she could trust him. And when I saw her, she was on stage at Big Stuff, and the head of this camp was telling her story and some other student stories that had just been through hard times, and my heart just gravitated toward her, and I chunked my talk right in the midst, right where I was sitting watching it happen. Walked up on stage and walked off the stage and across this big auditorium of 3,000 or 4,000 students to where she was sitting, and asked her to come down the steps and stand next to me. And I just said, Jessie, you're amazing. Your face is amazing. Your story is amazing. And you are a megaphone. And this cancer is just a megaphone for the story of God in your life. And these kids stood up and just cheered for her so loud. And I kind of stayed in touch with her a little bit over the last little while. But 2 weeks ago, she went to heaven at 17. And Jessie went home to be with Jesus. I've corresponded a little bit with her mom and dad. And just incredible people of faith. And she not only impacted me, and her talk is not only, I mean, her life impacting me into the talk in the Hope series is impacting I don't know how many people, tens of thousands of people around the world are being impacted by her, not by me, and by her influence of walking that life, not by me telling the story, but by her being the story of the hope that is found in Christ. And I just want to say, in memory of her and in honor of her, that it's real. The gospel is real. And it's not just real when we're sitting around listening to Christian podcasts, trying to, you know, learn something new about something or be encouraged in our life. It's real at the hardest places of life. There isn't a place that you or I are going to be ever that God isn't bigger than that. And cancer is not fun. And I mentioned to you in the last podcast, but even since then, I feel like I've been in the hospital every other day since the last podcast. One of our close team is in the hospital right now for the third day in a row. One of our team's mother-in-law went in for a serious surgery, but just to remove a non-cancerous growth, and turned out that they found cancer there, and it was a very serious situation and is still. One of our staff's dad had emergency bypass surgery. It's just been that kind of a 10-day window for us. And in the midst of it all, I was up early one morning thinking about my sister and my brother-in-law's mom having this surgery and going through this process. And the scripture just came to my heart. I didn't know where it was, but I knew the verse, and I went and looked it up the next day. It's the first verse of Psalm 62. And it's kind of the hope that I saw in Jesse, and it's the hope that I want to offer to those friends of ours that are in the hospital, just out of the hospital, dealing with some pretty heavy stuff in our team, and to anybody else in the world today that's wondering if they're going to make it through this week. And the scripture is pretty powerful. And it's Psalm 62, verse 1, and this is what it says. It says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And that's the bottom line today. There isn't a person, there's not a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a doctor or an employer or a professor or a sweet mate or a fraternity brother or a teammate that you can really look to today and go, you know what, you're going to be the person I can count on and depend on to do whatever it is that I'm hoping for in my life and help bring about whatever outcome it is that I'm hoping for in my life. My soul finds rest in God alone is what the psalmist said. And I'm telling you, if you put your hope and your soul in anything else but Him, there will not be rest there. And I know, you know, life is real. And the verse says, because He is my fortress, I'll never be shaken. That doesn't mean that we won't be rattled, that we won't be knocked back an inch or two or a foot or two or a yard, or that we won't even be knocked down. It just means that we won't be shaken to the core, where the foundation of our life is ripped out from under us. And at some point, we just fall on the floor in a big, huge heap and say, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do in life. But when we keep looking to Him and hoping in Him and seeing that He's bigger than everything, then our soul somehow in the midst of it all comes to this resting place. And even in the midst of, you know, these incredible headwinds, we say, you know what, I'm still here and I'm always going to be here. My God is with me and my God is for me, and He is bigger than life and bigger than death. He's bigger than health and bigger than cancer. He's bigger than riches and bigger than poverty. He's bigger than everything. And I've got Him today, and because I have Him today, I have everything I need for all the days of my life. I'm telling you, doing what we do is hard, and everyone's life is hard. Unbelievers' lives are hard. Suffering comes to the just and the unjust, but you can't tell me it's a coincidence that the head of our Sydney team, which is our last event on this leg's dad, had emergency quadruple bypass surgery, and the mother-in-law of the head of our Passion Mexico City team had a massive operation where they discovered cancer that is quite serious and it's going to be a long line of treatment. You can't tell me that those two things happened in a 5-day period on the week before we left on the third leg of the Passion World Tour, and that's just a coincidence. I believe that's part of the headwind of being the people of God in a broken world and taking grace to people who are in bondage but who can be free if they hear the story that we're coming to tell. And so we're not special. We're just people who are loved by God, and we know He is for us. And our soul in this moment finds rest in Him alone. Our salvation comes from Him. He alone is our rock and our salvation. He is our fortress, and we will never be shaken. So I can't wait to see Jessie in heaven. Her life was not cut short. Her life was not tragic in that it only lasted 17 years. Jessie Gerrans made a bigger impact on the world and will continue to do so than the vast majority of teenagers in America and probably most of the people listening to this podcast today, because she went for it and the hard times did nothing but squeeze out of her what was in her, which was a story to be told about a God who is bigger than everything. So for her family and for our little family and for anybody out there struggling today, I'm going to send us out with a little bit of David Crowder's You Never Let Go. I love the encouragement of it. And it says, when waters rise and hope takes flight, when clouds veil sun, when darkness comes, that there is this promise, there is this hope, that there's a hand of God that's never going to let go of us. I know I'm supposed to say Lord willing, but I can feel the airport getting closer and I have my passport ready and we're almost in Mexico. And I just have this feeling, and please don't take it wrong, Kiev, Stockholm, Sao Paulo, Jakarta, Manila. Please don't take it wrong, but we really believe the best is yet to come. And I can't wait to tell you about it right here on the Passion Podcast.
When waters rise and hope takes flight, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh my soul. Ever faithful, ever true, you are known, you know.